Turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Tonight we'll continue our series on principles of spiritual growth. And the topic tonight is acceptance. What it means to be accepted of the Lord and to be confident and happy with that, to know that you're accepted of the Lord. Some people I know have a big problem with that for various reasons. Just as a point of information, as I grew up, my mother was married very young. She was the oldest of three sisters. And my grandfather, her father, was, I believe, 40 or 42 years old when I was born. And so he didn't have any boys. He's a farmer. So I was his son. Even though I was his grandson, it was like a father. As a matter of fact, I called him Dad. Called my grandmother Mom. Dad, Mom. So what'd you do when you were with both parents? Who you looked at was your dad or mom, I guess, when you said dad or mom. But I'm from Indiana. That explains a lot about that. But being the only boy of all the grandchildren, at least for many years at that time, I didn't lack for confidence. My problem was pride. being the only grandson, I'd go with my grandfather to get the grain ground and bring the feed back. And so, oh, you got your helper with you. Like, yeah, that's my grandson. I'd feel real proud about it. I was in sports and other activities. I had a lot of trophies and I didn't have a problem with feeling accepted. It didn't bother me. I was president of my class. And not only did I have all these trophies, I built my own trophy case. I mean, that's pretty prideful, I think. But I built my own trophy case, put my trophies in. And, I got saved. God had to humble me to realize I needed him. That I can't do everything. It's in his power. But there are some people who go through all their life, and they never feel they're good enough. They've been put down. They've gone through failures, through various different problems or trials, and emotionally, mentally, even physically, they feel like they don't fit in. We had a little, when I was in elementary school, just 12 students in our class. It was a small rural area, and there was only five boys. Well, I was really the youngest of the five of us, was slow to grow. He became bigger than everybody, but he was kind of the runt, and he was picked on all the time. The other boy, I didn't do it, but the other boys would pick on him and make fun of him. And when he got to be in the teen years, he so wanted to be accepted, he got into the wrong crowd, and it created a lot of problems. And you see, this drive for acceptance is important. Everybody wants to feel loved. Everybody wants to feel accepted. And sometimes you go through some things that you feel like you're an outcast. You feel like I'm not good enough, or there's something wrong with me. People don't like me. I mean, sometimes even someone will come to church and they'll say, people are looking at me. Hello? I mean, that people do have eyes. They do look and they see people. They're not looking down at you. It's just they are so self-conscious. Now, psychologists have come up with a term to help people, and you're familiar with the term. It's called self-esteem. You got to build your self-esteem. And there's a problem with that, too, where people are building their self-esteem, but they're not building their relationship with Christ. So you have to come to a place where your confidence is in the Lord, not yourself. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. What does it mean to be accepted? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5. Having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That phrase is an important phrase, where we are accepted with him. And that should be the most important thing. Now, the book of Ephesians has six chapters. The first three are doctrinal, the last three are practical. So it's giving us truth. It's giving us teaching about what God says and what he believes and what is right. So he said, he has already determined that we would be adopted as children according to the pleasure of his will, it's his plan, to the praise of the glory of his grace, and he has made us accepted in the beloved. So we can be accepted in God's eyes. That's the key. That's what is important. It doesn't matter what other people think. You know, we get too self-conscious about what everybody thinks about us. Are they going to look down at me? Are they not going to like me? And we ought to worry more about what does God think? Am I accepted? Am I confident in my relationship to Jesus Christ? That's what really matters. Now, as we said, we started this series, the Bible is filled with commands and warnings and do's and don'ts, thou shalt not, principles through the book of Proverbs. There's a whole bunch of principles, and throughout many places in the Bible, it tells us here is how we can be successful. But one of the principles that's found in Scripture is learning what it means to be accepted, that we can go from where we were, whatever our past, whatever our background, and that God will accept us into his family, and that we are equal with any other child of God. Somebody said that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. He does not have prejudice toward one or another, not race or creed or stature or wealth. He cares for every single person the same, and he cares for every single person. So to be accepted of him is what we should strive for. So if our acceptance is understood, it really is related to our salvation. But sometimes we don't fully appreciate that salvation. We get caught back up in the flesh. But you cannot be accepted until you accept him. Salvation is offered to all. It's a free gift, but you have to receive that gift by faith. A person is justified and made right with God and accepted by putting our faith in Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross of Calvary. His arms are open. Whosoever may come, whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. So that whosoever means anyone can be accepted. And so the offer for salvation is for all. But all are not accepted unless they turn to him. That's how we are accepted, by repentance and faith. Psalm 27:10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. There's a little principle there that even if everybody in the world doesn't like you, even if your own parents have abandoned you, the Lord will take you up. He's the one that matters. So being accepted of God is the key for every single one of us. I think there are a lot of people that are driven to seek acceptance. They're driven by it. It's a powerful thing. And everything they do and every way they respond, it is always with that frame of mind or that reference. Oh, I want to be accepted. And they defend sometimes their sin. They defend their actions. They are sensitive. You know, they've got feelers out 20 feet in every direction. If anybody touches them, they back away. They're afraid someone might invade their private world because deep down inside, they're not happy with who they are. They're not happy with what their life has been. And so it's a powerful drive for every single person. It can cause us to change the clothes that we wear, the music we listen to, the friends that we make, the associations that we have. Just like my friend that I grew up with and he got into that teenage years, he was driven so much to be like his friends that he started partying just to be accepted by them. And how many times have we seen that? People are driven. Many people are driven for this worldly culture to somehow find acceptance. And they do all these crazy things. That's why people are getting tattoos and piercings and all the things in this culture. They're driven for acceptance. And if they only knew, they could be accepted in God and be happy and confident with who they are and how he made them. God then has predestined something that we be like Jesus Christ. That is his plan. That is his purpose for each of our lives. So we are justified by faith, and God begins a work in our lives that we are now his children. Think about this for a second. If one of your children misbehaved, I can't imagine that would happen. Your children are perfect. But if by chance somebody else you knew, that one of their children misbehaved, would they still be your child? What if your son came up and kicked you in the shin? Is he still your son? Well, I know my father would have proved I belonged to him if I kicked him in the shin. He would have made sure that he knew, you're my son, you're not going to do that again. He'd straighten me out. And God chastens those whom he loves. See, the matter of acceptance is that once we're his child, it's not just contingent on us alone. It is what he has done. He's accepted us. We're accepted in the beloved. So we belong to him. Nothing's going to change that. Even when we're wayward, we belong to him. Even when we're out of his will, we belong to him. We've already been accepted. And isn't it strange? You go through scripture and you find again and again, people sin and that breaks down that relationship and they run from God. Adam and Eve hid from the voice of the Lord. How many times do we go through scripture that people run from God because they're afraid and they've done something wrong, but we should run to God, run to the altar, run to repentance and say, oh God, forgive me. Why? Because it restores our fellowship. That little epistle written by John the Apostle, 1 John, talks about the assurance of our sonship. And it tells us how we can be restored to him, how we can be in fellowship with him. We know that if we sin, we have an advocate, a case pleader with the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will plead our case. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins, 1 John 1:9. So we can be restored. The problem is not he hasn't accepted us. The problem is we've run from him. He didn't move. We're the ones that changed. So we have a God that at the moment of salvation takes us into his family. We belong no matter what we do, no matter where we go, no matter how much we might even fail, we belong to him. He loves us. Matter of fact, one man said it this way, even if you decided you didn't want to be saved anymore, too bad, you can't change it. You can't make that decision. Why? It was an act of God whereby you were born into his family. You're one of his. Now, if you don't like your name, you don't like your family, too bad, you can't change it. That's who you are. That's how you were born. And we're born of God. We belong to him. But sometimes we fail to realize it is our sin that creates that attitude of fear. It is that sin that causes us to think we're not accepted and God won't love me anymore. When a buddy of mine and I went across the street, my mother's fixing supper, it's going to be a while, and I said, we're going to go across the road. And we went across the road, and we started down this lake, and we were looking for ducks or something, and we started walking down that lake. And we got to a point, we went so far, I thought, you know what, it's going to be closer just to keep walking to go out and rather than come back, and we'll come around the road. And then we did that, and by the time we got out to the end of the road, you know, I mean, these country squares are like a mile long. So we got out, and I said, but you know what? We can't go this way because they've got a bad dog. We're going to have to go the other way. And by the time we got back, it was about 2 or 3 hours after supper. It was dark. And we're drawing close to my home, and we heard our parents. They thought we'd drown. They thought we were dead. They're calling out, Jim, Luke! And I heart skipped. I thought, oh boy, we're in big trouble. We're in big, big trouble. And we got back. Our parents didn't scold us. You know what they did? They hugged us. They were just glad that they found us. You know, isn't our Father much that way? That if we just turn to him, he loves us. To be accepted of him. And think of all of our shortcomings. You know, we come up with all these excuses why we're not we don't look good enough. We're not, our clothes are dowdy. Oh, we don't have a nice car. And everybody has a bigger house than we have. And we go down the list of all these things. And, you know, I've got physical problems and ailments. And, you know, we think that we're an outcast and nobody cares about us. And I remind you, you're one of his children like everybody. And he is not prejudiced. He treats us all the same as far as caring for each one. He loves us and cares for us. Turn with me quickly to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, we're not far from there. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 1 and verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. What that means is, yeah, we were going one direction. And whatever our problems, whatever upbringing might have been, we might have had been very self-conscious, awkward as we grow up. Well, I don't fit in. I'm not the in group, and I'm not like everybody. When you get saved, you become one of his children as much as anyone else. We're a royal priesthood. We're adopted into his family. We're all one of his children. So immediately we're reconciled to God, brought back to God. The truth is he loves each one of us. Don't you love the verse John 3:16? I mean, there's something special about that verse. Maybe the most well-known verse in all the Bible. Somebody might not know any other verse in the Bible. They might know that one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And don't you like the word so? He so loved, not just loved, he so loved the world. Well, you could put your name in there. He so loved you. Whatever your name is, put your name in there. He loved you. And you could go to every person in the world. He so loved everyone. It's unfortunate, but sometimes parents are not sure how to be good parents, and maybe they were mistreated. And just this week, somebody talked to me about their upbringing, and they said, anything I do is never good enough. Never good enough. My mother just felt like, you know, she'd make straight A's. You know, some people, like, if you make C's, you should have made B's. If you made B's, you should have made A's. You should have made A pluses. You should make all A's. Never good enough. Their dads, sometimes they think, you know, you should have hit that ball. You should have shot that basket. You should have been better at that sport. You're never good enough. Well, you can't make anything. You can't bake anything. You can't even clean your room. You can't sweep the floor. You can't do anything right. Sometimes parents do that. And children grow up with this concept and idea they're worth nothing. And they never feel accepted. They can't accept themselves and who they are and where they're at because they feel like they're no good. I've known parents to tell their children, you're no good, I wish you'd never been born. How do you imagine a child would grow up thinking that? And I've talked to adult men and women that never felt like they were good enough. Here they are as adults. And they just constantly, that is on their heart and mind. Or people have gone through some tragedy or some addiction and they feel like, I'm not good enough. They got this weighing on their mind constantly and they're always that guilt. Well, the truth is, if you learn how to come to Jesus in repentance and faith, he accepts you. Not based on you, just based on his love and his mercy. Now think about it for a second. This man was a great Bible teacher. He was associated many years ago with Moody Bible Institute, William Newell. And I want you to think about each statement that he made. To believe and to consent to be loved while unworthy is a great secret. Listen again, I'll read again. To believe and to consent to be loved while unworthy is a great secret. So, I mean, this shoots self-esteem right in the heart, that it's a matter of accepting the fact they're unworthy, but to be able to consent to that and say, wait a minute, that doesn't matter because he accepts me. I don't have to be perfect. So we can be accepted and loved even when we don't deserve to be loved. As a parent, I mean, you should love your children, even when they're not doing right. Because you love them, they're your children. Listen again. I've got about 6 or 7 of these. To refuse to make resolutions and vows, for that is trust in the flesh. To refuse to make resolutions and vows, for that is trust in the flesh. So we can make vows. We can say, I'm going to do this and resolve to do that. But it's not in our power to do it. So we can't find acceptance by just our own deeds and trusting in the flesh. Here's another one. To expect to be blessed, though realizing more and more lack of worth. I think Paul made it pretty clear. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. He considered himself unworthy, and it seems like that was more toward the end of his ministry in life. So to be able to accept that fact, you know, sometimes we always have to be best, always have to be proud. We always got to prove ourselves. Why not just accept, I'm unworthy, but thank God he loves me. Preacher went to a door, he was knocking on doors. He knocked on this particular door, and a lady stuck her head out the door and said, can I help you? And he said who he was, and she then opened the door wide, and she said, well, if you're anything like I heard you are, you're not very much. Well, how do you respond to that? And he gathered his thoughts together, and he said, well, lady, you're right. I'm not very much. But by the grace of God, I'm saved, and I know the Lord. And he was able to lead the lady to Christ. But you see, our back stands up, and you know the hair on our neck sticks out. But you're not going to talk to me that way. I've got pride. I'm respectable. But whenever we realize we don't have to be accepted in the flesh, we don't have to do it our way. Here's another one: to rely on God's chastening hand as a mark of his kindness. That when we go through chastisement, struggles, and trials, to realize God has a purpose in it. We have to accept it. Embrace it. Remember when Paul had the thorn in the flesh? What did he do? He did what we would all do. He prayed that the Lord would take it away from him. Lord, take this away. And how the Lord answer? He said, oh, my grace is sufficient. Lest he be lifted up with pride, the Lord gave him that thorn in the flesh. And he said, then I'll glory in that. See, he didn't have to prove himself. He didn't have to say, well, you know who I am? I'm the Apostle Paul, and I'm writing all the New Testament. He said, no, I realize I am what I am by the grace of God. Acceptance, accepting who you are. To be able to accept in us, in our flesh, we can do no good thing. But that through him, we can do all things. And it's up to him. Here's another one. To hope to be better is to fail to see yourself as in Christ only. To think, well, I'm going to try hard. I'm going to be better. You know, that's, again, back to the flesh. Here's what's really important. Think about this for a second. To be disappointed in yourself is to have believed in yourself. You ever been disappointed in yourself? And why did I do that? Why did I make that mistake? Why did I say that? But the problem is, we want to be perfect, and we think we can be or should be. So we have trouble with acceptance because we're never good enough. Why do we have to believe in ourselves? And why do we need everybody else to believe in us? See, that's not trusting in Christ. To be discouraged is unbelief as to God's purpose and his plan of blessing. Why do we get discouraged? And we all do. Why do we get discouraged? Because we had confidence in the flesh. Rather than say, wait a minute, God has a purpose in everything. Everything doesn't go right. Everything has to go the way I want. But God's in control. Everything's fine. Acceptance. To be proud is to be blind. We have no standing before God in ourselves. It's not our ability. It is not us. And the lack of divine blessing, therefore, comes from unbelief, not from failure or devotion. It is not believing the right things or believing about Christ. Our highest motivation should be love and not fear. J.W. Sanderson said, "Fear produces the obedience of slaves, but love engenders the obedience of sons." So if we love, we become obedient. We do what's right because we love the Lord, because he loves us. The law made man's blessing depend on devotion. Grace confers undeserved, unconditional blessing. So our devotion may follow, but it doesn't always do so in the proper measure. We have to realize it's God's grace that's what is what matters. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 16. It says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Let me read also 2 Corinthians 5:8. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent in the body, to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, not whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So we can be accepted of him. So we labor. If it's in his hands, we serve him. Why? We just want to be accepted of him, please him. And so our goal is just, I want to live for the Lord and put my trust in him. And if I'm accepted of him, it doesn't matter what others say. It doesn't matter what others think. It doesn't matter what trials I go through. My acceptance depends on my relationship with him. It's a wonderful thing to be accepted. If you take a little child, you put them in your arms, they have that comfort to know they're accepted. They don't think this through. They're not into psychology and, you know, they're not, I wonder if they really mean that, or, you know, do they really love me? No, they're accepted because they hold them. You know, the Petri baby, just about everybody in the church has held a Petri baby. That kid's going to be spoiled rotten. I mean, everybody's holding that baby. Everywhere you go, it's like, oh, I know who that is. But in a sense, isn't that what God does for each one of us? That he puts his arms around us and holds us. There's something comforting about someone hugging and holding you. And his arms are stretched around us to hold us. See, that is the blessing of being accepted of God. Spiritually speaking, we're accepted. I don't care what you've done. I don't care the problems you've had. I don't care what other people think about you. He puts his arms around you and he holds you. Why? Because we are accepted of him. In salvation, in Acts 10 and verse 34, it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive, God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he feareth him and worketh righteousness, is accepted of him." We can be accepted of him. He came into the world to save sinners, and he saved Paul, who was the chief of sinners. He saved you and me to know him. That's all we need. We have the Lord in our heart and our life. And the Bible tells us how special we are. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why would we live down here at this level wondering what people think about us when he's made us his ambassadors, when we are a royal priesthood? He has a special plan for our lives. We need to realize we're accepted of him. 1 John 3:1, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Think of that privilege, to be called a son of God. The Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Well, we're part heir of that. And all the world is his. Well, we belong to him too. We're part of his family. We are secure in his hands. Paul, writing to those at Rome, he said, "I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Well, it's comforting to know we're accepted, we're safely in his hand. He said, my children in my hand, no man can pluck them out of my hand. He took our sin and buried him in the middle of his back, and you can't see the middle of your back. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far our sins are forgiven. He took our sin and buried them in the deepest part of the sea, not to be found. Why? We're accepted of him. That's what's important. And why would we keep striving to impress someone else or impress some other teen group or some peer and think, oh, I want to fit into that group? Why don't we be more concerned about fitting into God's group, pleasing him and honoring him and living for him? He is the source of all comfort and all acceptance. Turn with me, finally, Romans 11 and verse 33. Romans 11 and verse 33. It says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given him, and it shall be recompensed on him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. For of him, through him, and to him are all things. So if we keep striving to please our parents that we never could please, keep striving to fit in with the crowd or fit in with those at work that are unsaved, or if we can't be cool like everybody else and we feel bad, if we've gone through some tragedy or trial, or we think everybody's looking at us or they're looking down at us, we've got to remember it. Our acceptance is from him, through him, to him. It's all related to him. And if we have our acceptance in him and we're happy with that, who cares what anybody else thinks or does or says? Because it matters what he thinks. And if we get out of his will and we sin, let's run to him. Say, Lord, I need you. I need your help. Lord, forgive me and cleanse me. We're right back into fellowship again. That's a wonderful thing about a father who accepts us and loves us. You don't have to worry about being good enough. You don't have to worry about impressing him. Just turn to him and say, Lord, I need you. I need you. Let's bow for prayer.